story for a couple of minutes deep. Delay, we were trying to get our trustee set up on the Zoom. Steve, we're there. So I will call the meeting to order at, I believe, 7:02, and I will respectfully acknowledge the Pawlucka First Nation, on whose traditional territory this meeting takes place. First order of business will be the adoption of the minutes. Could I have someone move that motion?
I'll move it.
Thank you, Christo. Seconder. Thank you, Lisa. So the motion is that the board approve the March 10th, 2026 regular open session minutes. Thank you.
Can I make an amendment to
Oh,
that?
yes.
Because Suzanne Leroy was actually removed.
Sorry.
She was remote, and it doesn't state. She says she was present, and Suzanne was remote for
Good.
that meeting. Okay.
Thank you. Duly noted. Thank you. Johnny, let me know. Okay. Suzanne, you can hear us?
Yep.
Thank you. So the board, with the amendment that to the minutes that you were remote, other than that, if there's nothing further, then I would ask all those in favor of adopting minutes as amended, please indicate by raising your hands.
Aye.
Thank you. That's unanimously approved. You item C, items coming out of closed session, we have none. Do we have any introduction of late items? Number D. Hearing none, we'll move on to petitions and delegations. And thank you, Graham. You have the floor.
Yes. So, anyways, yeah, so I'm Graham Roberts with the MMP MC manager. Sort of been doing a whole lot in the last few years. So it's my pleasure to be here. So I'll just start off with a report. So the company finance statement, which present fair and all material respects to the consolidated finance position of Bay Improvement District. So what does that mean? Materiality? So for us, we use materiality typically around 5% of revenue. So our materiality use this year is less than that. So it's about $56,000 worth of materiality that we use. So what does that mean? It means every transaction above that amount, we test, and everything below that amount, we do on a sampling basis. So that's how we come up with our opinion, by doing sampling to source stock, third-party source documentation. So that's the audit report. So it's a clean audit report. So I'm going to jump to the statement of operations. So page two of your finance statements. So this combines both the water operating, the two capital funds, the fire and fire capital funds as well. So it's consolidated in that sense.
Excuse me, if I could, that's page 14 of your agenda package. Sorry,
Thank you.
thanks.
Yeah.
Thank you.
So you can see total revenue is $1.1 million. The majority of that, half of that is from parcel tax and fire levies. So that's where the majority of the revenue is. And on the revenue side, everything's pretty consistent from prior years or budget. Donations is up, so that's always nice to have the help from the fire department society. And the other thing for other revenue, there's a EPCM grant that was received during the year. So that was used to purchase some additional training and fire equipment. So the expenditures are $746,000, broken up between water and fire. I'm not going to go through it in detail, but at the back of your thing, Schedule 3, actually, just Schedule 3, breaks down the budget for water and the actual budget for fire and actual for 2024 and 2025. So there's more details there, but I'm not going to go through that. So at the end of the day, the annual surplus is $394,000. So it's good surplus. Healthy surplus. What I'm going to do is jump to Schedule 1. So it's page 12 of the financial statement. It's not sure what it is here. Sorry, no, that's Schedule 2, pardon me.
4.
Schedule 2.
4, thank you.
So this is how all the funds, this is breaking out, before we're looking at it, consolidating total, this is breaking out to all the different funds that the improvement district has, being our operating, our capital, restricted reserves, the renewable reserve, and restricted renewable reserve, then we have fire and fire capital, and trying to restrict fire capital. So it breaks down that surplus. So that surplus and excess is broken out into the different funds. And you can see the
so total. You're on, excuse me, Graham, you're on Schedule 2 right now, then?
Schedule 2, yeah.
Yeah, that would be page 25 of the agenda. So it's from Schedule 1 to Schedule 2.
Yes, Schedule 2. So breaking out the surplus from the operating between all the different funds, so you can see water operating started at the beginning year at a surplus of $209,000. There's actually a slight deficit in operating because before transfers, because of the operating basic pays for most of the stuff, then the 105 down there, that's a transfer of sort of overhead admin costs from the water to the fire. So that's where you can see you look in the further right, see fire protection 105. So the end amount is just a small deficit in the operating fund, about $12,000. Capital fund, so we have depreciation, then there's some capital purchases in there, so that's your equity and your capital assets for the water district. So it's just the book value of your tangible capital assets. Restricted reserves, so that's the state interest coming in there, and that's all that's going on there. The water renewal restricted reserve, so that's coming, what's coming in there is your parcel tax and some interest income as well, and so some capital purchases from the water district were funded under there. So it's accumulated annual surplus is 211 there. And renewal internal restricted, so that's just interest going in there. Then fire protection, so it had operating surplus of 374, then we had these transfers in there. So 665 goes to on the next page, which is going to be a restricted reserve for the fire. Then 105 from operating. This just almost $50,000 of capital purchases. And then the repayment of debts being flown through there as well. So fire protection capital, so that's basically the tap can glass and the fire hall, so it's an R hall and the fire truck and auxiliary equipment. That's what that amount is there. Then you're starting to build up on the next page, fire protection capital internal restricted. So from the, it's confusing, from the fire operating, you transferred into the reserve for future expenditure, so that balance is accumulating forward. So it's a fair bit of information there. Do I have any questions about that before I carry on?
Is there a test at the end of this?
For you only, John.
I think there's at least one other board member who would be right up to speed, probably more on the amount as well.
Okay, so then we'll go back to the statements. So statement of operations. So we had the $294,000 surplus. We're going to go to the next page, two pages over. Statement of cash flows. This is sort of monitoring your cash coming in. So you can see the surplus of, it's page 4 of the financial statement. It's not sure what page it is in your package.
16.
Yeah. So $394,000. Taking out some non-cash items, amortization, the capital tax reduction events, then some changes in your working capital, accounts receivables was up. So it's a draw on capital, but that's primarily due to accruals made for the UPCM grant at year end. So it's not actually an increase in your the user fees being more in arrears. That's not the case here. They're pretty much the same. So net cash from operating activities is 480,900. Capital purchases, so 251,000 capital purchases. 101 was for water systems for the Thompson Clark West upgrade, and about $50,000 of capital equipment for the fire department. And good news is there, change in portfolio investments. So it's a reduction of cash. We've been putting it into your investments. You gain more interest. That's the $317,000. So a total increase in cash of 12,711. So now I'll jump back to the first page of the financial statement. So this is the financial position. This is what the value of things were at December 31st, how the amounts were accumulated totals for the year. So we just walked through the cash flows. So we know we went up $12,700. And we talked about the portfolio investments. So basically, parcel taxes were put into your portfolio investments, so the increase $317,000. Accounts payable, accrued liabilities, so it was a reduction this year. And that's just a timing issue. Last year, this major capital was recorded at year end, so that wasn't the case this year. Deferred revenue, that's just people prepaying their taxes and user fees. Deferred tax capital events debt. So when the fire hall was built, several bylaws were passed to borrow money to pay for the fire hall. And so what's happening, the province is out, is collecting those amounts for you and crediting the payment for you. So you don't, it's sort not debt you pay directly, and the province is administering it on your behalf, but it is a liability of the improvement district. So total financial assets is your financial assets plus your liabilities is $1.333 million. Then our non-financial assets, so that's our tangible capital assets, and that's gone up. But it's actually gone down just because amortization is greater than the 151,000 of capital additions that I talked about earlier, and some prepaid expenses. So accumulated surplus comes up to just over $6 million. So I went through Schedule 2 with you already, and that's broken down into the different funds. But if you want to, you can look at note 9, which just shows you the total. So that's page 10 of the financial statements, just breaking down the different surpluses that you have. So you're on
page 22 of the agenda package. Sorry.
So your operating funds, you have $654,000 of surplus, reserve funds. $2.2 million of reserve funds broken out into the different categories there. Then you have your equity and capital assets being the water and fire of 3.2. So there's your $6 million of accumulated surplus.
So sorry, what is it, the tangible capital assets and the water? What is that?
That's what, that's your water infrastructure.
The infrastructure.
Yeah.
Okay.
Primarily, it'd be this building too, and yeah.
It's also, if I could, it's historical costs.
Yeah.
So it has, for example, very little cost is in there for water lines because it's based on historical value at the time that it was constructed.
Oh.
So it's misleading in the sense of what it would cost to replace, but it's accurate in terms of based on historical cost, the appreciation. That's where it's at. Like how we budget is more on a current cost basis, not a historical cost basis. The audit is based on historical cost.
Yeah.
So why are they calling it tangible?
What are they called, tangible?
Yes.
You can touch them.
Yeah, they're physical.
Oh, okay.
Graham, if I could, This note nine,
yep,
to me is a very good note. It kind of tells you where the bottom line of our reserves is.
Your end balance is what you have available in future expenditures.
Exactly. So that's kind of where we're at. The tangible capital assets, that's a bit different because of historical costs, and you get those costs through our budgeting process. But this is excellent for the reserve accumulated surplus balances for the various reserve funds, operating funds, etc.
Yeah. That's all I was going to go through, but I'm definitely available for questions. Anything else you want me to go into a little more deeper?
I'm just mentioning about the firewall. You said the government keeps track of that?
Yes.
And so they give us a breakdown every year of.
Yeah, they do basically. They give John each year and this thing, balance, whatever. So when people get the property tax,
yes,
so there'll be a line item for it for collecting that. So they're collecting it on your behalf. It just doesn't flow through your bank accounts.
No, no, I know that. But do they give us a spreadsheet of all the costs and they.
No, just the amortization of the loan they give us.
Oh, I see. Okay. Okay, thanks.
And the loan is a fixed rate.
Yeah.
For the term of the loan, 20 years. It's outlined in the statements.
Note five
describes what the loan is, and it's an amazing rate.
Was under 2% or something?
For me?
Was it under 2%? 1.75% or something?
So the big one is
1.89.
Yeah, that's amazing what Deep Bay Improvement District did on that.
Yeah, really lucked out on that.
Is the amount that the government collects for the improvement district, is that a deferrable amount for the residents of the community if they defer their taxes?
I would assume so.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Although the rules are changing for that.
That's still going to be the total overall amount. It's
yeah, it'll
be
the whole
amount. It's interest amount that
yeah.
People who are deferring are going to have to pay more.
Yeah.
Yeah. So. I don't have any questions. I think this does. Thank you once again, Grant, for all your work. Yeah, thanks, John, for all your work. I think it's a great statement, and I think that we're showing that we're looking after the funds, trying to get some more money in the name.
So, for the annual general meeting, the financial statements we'll sign. The board needs to approve them. Then the signed copy gets executed for the AGM meeting and it'll be presented again at the AGM, and Corey will be there for the AGM. So based on all the input that Graham has given you and the statements that are here, I'm sure you come up with some real good questions for Corey when he's here next Thursday at the AGM, because he'd be available to answer any questions. But you can also just contact me too. Same with ratepayers. Any questions you have on finances, it's DBID's financial statements. So if you have any questions, you can certainly don't hesitate to contact me at it. But Corey will be there on Thursday on behalf of the auditors. So I think we need a motion then.
That's all done, then we will.
I'll make the motion that the board receive and approve the 2025 financial statements as presented by MNP.
Excellent.
I'll second it.
Seconder, thank you. Any further discussion? Suzanne?
No.
Thank you. Then we'll call for the question. All those in favor, raise your hands.
Yep.
Thank you. That's carried and so ordered unanimously.
I believe Graham has some other pressing matters this evening, so he'll be
like life.
He'll be
like life.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you
very much.
So, that's good. We have the business and section F business arising from the minutes. and unfinished business, and it looks like there'd be a verbal update on well number 6 generator. I believe that would be my learning trustee friend Christens.
So I've got three proposals from three different companies. One Simpson Maxwell on a used Dukes. So it's the same kind of engine as out back here. I was down there last week and they rolled it outside, started it up. It started instantly. So we got pumped up about why this one kind of bucks a little bit. They already had some ideas. So anyway, this is a used unit. It's privately owned. It's available for $18,000. Now I'm still waiting on Simpson Maxwell to quote an install price. I heard back from Tony McCormick late today that if we have him do the transfer switch, the disconnect, and various wiring to the generator, he said he'd be looking at around $8,000 or $9,000. He also gave some bad news that if we proceed with the White Pacific Automation one, which was a complete package, that was a Generac brand with a Perkins engine, and Generac is no longer going to make three-phase transfer switches. So that one may end up disappearing. So the one with Simpson Maxwell, it's a 50 kilowatt unit. It's twice as big as what we need, but the engine has been overhauled, and they say it started out around just like a top. It's got a Stanford generator on it, which White's Diesel in Campbell River quoted. So it's an industrial quality generator. That was my concern with White Pacific and the Generac. This Generac is more household stuff,
right?
Now this had more of a commercial engine in it, but they were not really sure about the generator itself. So anyway, White Pacific Automation was $50,000. That was a number that was previously quoted. That included the installation of the transfer switch, disconnect in the pump house, installing the generator outside, but we had to, on top of the 50,000, pour cement base, put a roof over it, and put a security fence around it. This generator came with a cap that the White Pacific, or I should say White Diesel in Campbell River came in at 48,000, but on top of that, we need Tony to do the disconnect and transfer switch work, which would be like about another 9,000. So that one's the highest bid. Again, these are two brand new units that for something that's going to run maybe 8, 10 hours in a whole year, maybe a little longer, seems like a lot. So with the one that Simpson Maxwell, I'm estimating with, you know, what he was telling me last week, the cost, we'd have to get a shipping container to put that one in because it's not a cabinet unit. Crystal got me a name of somebody. I called them today to use 8x10, which is sufficient in size. It's a little undersized, but it's sufficient in size for $3,000 plus. I'll talk to them about delivery. All in all, that one should come in around 36,000, 37,000.
And the year of the generator that's used, 18,000, I think you said. What vintage would it be? Do you know?
I did ask what the year was. It's got a remanufactured label on it. He said it had 10,000 hours on it, which initially sounds like a lot. He said these things run 50,000 hours before the overhaul. And they'll run another 50,000 before they're essentially shot. So they'll outlive everybody in this district. That one we're required to say a shipping container, and then we'll have to do like out back here, air intake, exhaust fan out, and they can dump the exhaust out. So again, we've been putting those costs together and then give me a number here shortly. That's where that stands.
So if you can break it down, just summarize, there's three different quotes. I think this one you said is about 36, 38.
Well, I'd say it's 18 for the generator. I'm saying I'm adding in about 5,000 for their work to install it, like bring it up from the 9-1,
yeah.
Put it in the container, bolt it down, do the exhaust fan air intake thing, install the fuel tank. A fuel, you can get a slim fuel tank for $1,000. 9,000 again is Tony's cost, right, for the transfer switch, the disconnect, and 3,000 for the shipping container. So I say that comes in around 36, 37. So it's a good 10,000 under White Pacific's Generac quote. So
Generac, as you say, is not as industrial as these, but Generac application is a brand new Generac.
Well, it's what people buy to have,
but it's support, but it would be new.
It is a new, yeah.
Would be new,
yeah.
And it would jump up to, did you say, around
50,000
all in?
Plus, then we've got to do the cement base, the fencing, and the roof. I mean, you can probably bet that'll come in at beginning of, you know, price on concrete 6 inches by,
yeah, it's gonna be another $10,000.
8 feet long, you're probably looking at $2,000-$3,000 there.
No, plus the fencing and the,
yeah, fencing roof and stuff. You probably count on $7,000 to make it look like well-laid.
Yeah.
With a fence around it and a cement base and a roof.
So at the end of the day, it really comes down to how much is it going to be used, which you indicate. It's an emergency generator. It's not like it's something running every day. So it seems to me that the vintage or buying a new as opposed to used is not a huge advantage in this, at this,
well, the new,
for this application.
They don't make that air-cooled six-cylinder anymore because it long ago didn't need emissions. But as long as they exist, they can be purchased again and installed. But their closest equivalent for a brand new one is $37,000. So it's like half the price. And they would give a 6-month warranty on it.
On
a
used one.
On a used one, yeah.
So we will have all of this, all these proposals sometime in the near future in front of us so we can make a decision.
I'm going to the container outfit tomorrow. Got to look at it. I asked Krista why this one back here got cut short. I couldn't remember why. And he said you got to stay under 107 square feet, otherwise you end up with a building permit issue at the very end. So we can avoid them all better.
Yes.
Just to explain, the container we had, the generator in, was 20 feet long. So I measured it myself and then got some guys to come in, welders to come and cut it apart and weld it back together again. So we didn't need a building permit.
Yeah.
So that's the reason it's that size.
So this one I'm looking at is an 8x10.
Yeah.
And I measured the generator on its skid and it's 7 feet long. So he said, yes, it'll work. It's, you know, because you got to be able to get around it for any work. So he said it would work. This unit out back is 8 feet wide. So.
Okay.
With a bunch of new rules in the regional district, we should check into that for shipping containers, because I think there are some new rules for shipping containers.
Sorry, I couldn't hear you.
There's some new rules, I think, for shipping containers in the regional district, so we might want to just look at that. They may be able to be a little bit larger than an 8x10 for a shipping container. So we might want to look at that, because when they brought in all the changes to secondary housing and a bunch of that stuff, they also brought in some rules regarding shipping containers. I'm not sure exactly what they are, but it did twig in my mind that there was something that I read about shipping containers.
There was an issue. You used to have to have a building permit if you had a shipping container on your property, and I think they just got so much flack from everybody, they've backtracked a bit now. So
yeah, and so the rules may be a bit different from size as well.
Not sure well, it was just a shipping container in general.
Fortunately, at well six, the trees were there long ago, cut way back.
Right.
As well five. So if we keep it to a shorter container, then a deck truck should just be able to back in there, swerve around the back, and drop this thing off. It won't need a crane or something to lift it in place.
I think you have to crane it. There's somebody else I can give you a name of who a reasonable living quality can do the craning and moving.
I think it was just the flat deck truss that tilted up and it starts, when you have it held on the table.
Maybe.
And they just, well, I've seen it in the oil field for decades. That's how we
walk off. We can investigate that. We'd look into that for sure.
Great.
How about the ducting and venting and that sort of thing? Is that done or we contract that piece of the project out?
Since the Maxwell would look up.
Look after that? I think, as Diane said,
they were the supplier years ago, the one at Welly. It was a used unit.
I suggest that you've done a lot of good work. And as Diane said, once we put it on paper, that all of us can have it in front of us and see the actual cost, I think that will help us all to move forward with a decision. But it sounds like the used generator, it seems to be the...
Well, I think it's going to come in at least 15,000 less.
Yes. Yeah, that's substantial, considering.
Yeah, thank you for all your fun.
Yes.
Thank you for seeing the work it's in at.
Yes, thank you very much.
Plus, the shipping container is going to be more, if it's locked up like this one, it'll be more secure than what's at Welly. Well,
it's
just a bolt
cutter in. Yeah. Yeah, sad we have to think about that, isn't it? The handling if you will. That's great.
Yeah.
So that's good. Suzanne, you were able to hear all that discussion?
Yep. I do have a question for Craig.
Thank you. Go ahead.
You mentioned 50,000 hours and it should have another 50,000. Was that sort of right?
Oh, it has 10,000 hours now.
Yeah.
It was privately owned on Laskeedy Island. And the guy sold his place and the people decided to go solar is what I was told. So they didn't want to generate. So it's got lots of like, they went through it, replaced a few things that needed to be done. They repainted the whole thing. And then put me a 6-month guarantee on it.
Sorry, is this a private sale or is this a commercial
sale? It's a private sale through Simpson Maxwell. Like they took it from the owner and said that they would essentially sell it on consignment.
Okay. Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay. So is it the seller that's telling you how much life they think it has, or was it research that you're researching the model?
He said it at 10,000 hours now. Where yeah. That comes from, I didn't see an hour meter on it. So I can press them on that to get a little more assuredness that that's it.
Well, I guess it's the longevity though. Like that. So the 10,000 is one thing, obviously, but you know, how long it's expected to go. Is the seller telling you that or is research?
No, they're a dude's dealer.
Okay, good. Okay. All right.
And yeah, he had lots of information. So I'd say, but we need to service this one back. We won't use lights in the future, even though they did do good work, but they kind of stuck it to us on that damper pulley from what I found out.
They have hour meters on them. They
I didn't see an hour meter on this one.
Somewhere. Okay.
Oh, anyway, they're a dude's dealer. They've been working on these things for years. Telus uses them at the remote cell phone sites, and they run for 6 months at a time, 24 hours a day. They switch them over. They do a little bit of work on them to get them back to where they can switch back in 6 months.
Yeah. So, is there any way that with our savings that we need to think about improving the security for Well 8's generator. You kind of mentioned, somebody mentioned that, one bolt and cut and it's gone.
Well,
Obviously.
8 is in its own lockable cabinet, but the chain link fence is just a padlock and it's like chain link. I mean, yes, it could be upgraded to where it'd be very difficult to get in with locks that are shrouded, stuff like that, like on the seat can back here.
Might be able to alarm it with this. You could put an alarm on the fence and like
It's not visible from the highway. So unless somebody just happens to be walking through there, they're not even going to know it's there.
Gordon, I don't have this.
They can't steal it, so it'd just be vandalism that we would be worried about, right?
Okay.
Do we have, do or would we have insurance on any of our generators in a policy that if something was broken into and ruined, that would pay a deductible and then they would
I don't think
do we
so.
have
I mean, that would be a
insurance? We would
question.
have insurance.
Yeah.
John, yes, we would.
Yeah, I
Likely.
yes.
I'll leave that one to
Okay,
you.
that kind of alleviates that we're stuck if it gets broken and we have to. So again, thank you, Greg. That's a pretty good update. And then we'll move forward with more particulars, a sheet of paper when you get your figures all set up and then
I
we'll.
don't hear from this week, I'll be home.
Okay. Brilliant. So we'll move on to G correspondence in which we have none. And so now we go to reports. The water operator report. John told me that he is not available tonight, but he will be at the AGM and he will give a verbal report at the AGM. So could I have someone move a motion that the March 2026 water operators report be received for information.
Right, promotion.
Crystal, thank you. The seconder. Alyssa, thank you. Any further discussion? I don't think so. Let's call for the question. All those in favor?
Yep.
The water operator. She say yes, I did.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, thank you. That's carried. So ordered unanimously. Thank you.
Mr. Chair,
Yes, please.
question for John on
John, yeah.
Did Adam mention anything when he had that contractor out to work on the well isolation valve? Did he say anything to you?
No, we did not. Number two. Reports recommendation. Could I have someone move the motion that the March 26, 2026 fire chief report be received for information? Thank you. Lisa, the seconder? Thank you, Craig. Any discussion on the fire chief's report at this time? Seeing no hands, we'll call for the question. All those in favor?
Yep.
Okay. Thank you, Suzanne. That's carried unanimously. Financial reports. You all can read what is in front of us. Could I have someone move a motion that March check registers be received for information? Thank you, Diane. Seconded by Alyssa. Thank you. Any discussion? Call for the question. All those in favor, Suzanne?
Yep.
Thank you. And everyone else, that's carried. And so ordered unanimously. We'll move to number four, the administrator's report. Could I have someone move the motion that the April 2026 administrator's report be received for information? Thank you, Diane. Seconded, Crystal. Any discussion?
Does John want to bring anything to our attention at all?
I'm going to defer to him in one moment as soon as we, if that's all right, can we pass it? No discussion. Call for the question on the motion that's received for information. Unless, do you want to speak before I do that? Yeah.
You can proceed, but.
Okay, because I'm going to ask you to, well, I'm going to. All those in favor, go in that room. Carried, then I'd say, Suzanne,
yes.
thank you. What I would like to do is say to John that I think it's a fabulous idea that he decided to do a monthly administrator's report. And if there's anything he has to add or would like to say about the report, please feel free.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. There is a couple things I would like to say. In terms of, well, freedom of information and privacy, and then audio recording of minutes, as the board knows and the public is, there's a lot more scrutiny nowadays in terms of how meetings are run, what is said in meetings, how we conduct ourselves, etc. Mostly that is very good. I say mostly only because there is certainly an additional added layer of bureaucracy that's associated with this when we misstep. That being said, on the audio recording, I mentioned in here that we took off the agenda the December and January audio recordings. There was a couple of statements, well, a few statements made in the meeting that stem from a question from the gallery and then comments that we made back that came back that there was a concern from an individual that we were not following privacy rules. So some aspects of that might be debatable, but certainly overall, we probably went too far on our discussion of what it was about. So we've taken it off. There was nothing on there that was disrespectful, in my opinion, or anything like that. But just the very fact that we're talking about a person creates a problem. So in future, say you're talking about a person, a repayer in the gallery or something. If we see something, I would just caution you that any one of us can say, let's just do a pause here and not go down that path. Like some of it's kind of, I don't know, phrasey is the word. For example, you can talk about, you can't talk about, in theory, John Marsh, but you can talk about the administrator, and everyone knows who the administrator is. It's John Marsh. But we have to use the administrator title, for instance. So we just need to be more mindful of that. I don't, in my opinion, I don't consider it a major security privacy issue that we created, but in the eyes of someone else, they felt it was. So, you know, that's fair enough. And that's why the recording isn't there anymore. So we just need to be mindful that that's what's going to happen on these recordings. The other thing I wanted to mention is the AGM. So we're working on the AGM. We will have it posted on the website not later than Monday. The meeting's on Thursday. It could be sooner, but I just wanted to state that an agenda will be coming out on that. The annual report, the water report, fire chief's report, the audited financial statements, that's pretty much what's on the agenda. We're still working on an aspect of the water report, but we should be able to get that together pretty quickly and not later than Monday. That's just an update with what's coming.
I have a question.
Thank you. Please, Diane.
With the items that we removed, the audio that was removed from the website, was it just the question period portion that was removed from the website?
All of it.
Why?
It gets tricky to cut and paste. On the audio, we can.
Was it at the very end of the meeting, or was it throughout?
It's at the end, and in theory, there was part of the meeting, then mostly at the end. And with the Zoom, for example, you can trim the beginning or trim the end. It gets tricky
if you're in the middle. Between. That's why I was asking. Was it kind of all of collective period? Because I don't think I was at either of those two meetings, so that's why I'm here.
Yeah, so I don't know, I just, you're right, in theory, if we're able to, we could trim the ends, but at times, I'm not saying this is the case in this case, but it's almost, it seems at times that people are looking for where we make mistakes.
Of course they are.
And then they come and create an issue, so I just say, fine, take it off. So yeah, we can look at the trimming. We can, that can be done, but there was something earlier in the meeting too, when it was brought up.
Okay.
Mostly at the end of the meeting.
John? John?
Yes, Suzanne?
You know, we could do segments, you know, segment 1, 2, 3, 4 of any meeting, just because somebody says something partway through the meeting, we don't throw out the baby with the bathwater kind of thing. So, you know, if you need some help in knowing how to do that, I can certainly offer. But because I don't think it's proper that we throw out the whole meeting just because of segments. We have to learn how to cut them out, and it's very easy. And then just post the meeting in segment 1, 2, 3.
Through the chair, that'd be excellent, Suzanne. You and I can connect on that, and you can give me a lesson on how better to use Zoom. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you. On behalf of the board, Suzanne, that is great, because I agree that the whole work shouldn't go because of a couple of little pieces. Any further discussion?
John, if just for that, if you can get the times when there were things that we want to cut out, get that prepared. Get the minutes and seconds where the segments are that we need to cut out, that would be a help.
Okay, is this something we could do next week?
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
Good, good, good. Could I have someone move the motion then, that 2026 administrator? Didn't we do that?
Yeah.
Yes, we did. Thank you. So we're moving on to the DBID detailed financial fund accounting statements for 2025.
I do have some things I'd like to say.
And I will defer to John as the first speaker to speak on that.
Okay, so what this is our statements at the end of the year. It matches up with what the auditors have done, but they're presented differently. The auditors consolidate everything together into one fund. They put the fire and the water departments into one fund. And the presentation, for example, they record depreciation as an expense on the financial statements. We don't on our records. Our records, how we do these DBID financial statements, match up better with how we budget. So in some ways, I think they're easier to understand, in my opinion. So they're done quarterly, these statements. I like to do one at the end of the year to match up with the financial statements. And on page 35 and page 44, there's detailed revenues and expenditures. It shows the budget compared to the actual this year and also the actual last year. I'm not going to go through them here tonight, but it's much more detailed than what is shown on the financial statements. The financial statements, not only are they consolidated, many of the numbers are summarized.
Right.
These are much more detailed. So if anyone has any questions on any of these statements, whether it be tonight or down the road, you'll see these numbers again, because these numbers will show as comparisons when we produce the next budget. This will be the basis upon which we produce the budget for next year. So that's really all I have to say on that, unless there's any questions.
Thank you. Is there any questions? Anyone from the table or Suzanne, any questions to John?
Yeah, I do have a question. So let's just take the revenue, the total revenue. The budget was 405 and the actual was 408.
That's page 35 of the agenda.
Yes, yes. So I'm just wondering why the difference is a negative when we actually brought in more revenue than we budgeted. So I'm just curious as to why it's a negative instead of a positive.
That's a very good question. That's how the Sage accounting system prints it out. This isn't a spreadsheet that I do. It just displays it that way. So, but your comment is correct. The revenue, total revenue is higher than budget by $2,582.80, and that's how it presents itself based on the SAGE accounting system.
Okay, so when we're overspent, it looks like we have a positive. Okay, oh well.
Yeah, fair enough.
Okay, got it.
Anyone else from the table?
So I need that motion.
Could I have someone move the motion that the board receive the DBID detailed 2025 financial fund accounting statements for the water department and the fire department? Thank you, Diane. Seconder. Thank you, Christo. Any further discussion? Seeing none, call for the question. All those in favor?
Yeah.
Thank you. It's carried and so ordered. Bylaws, none. Resolutions, none. New business, none. About that. We'll open it up now to the floor for question period. Thank you.
Well, it was here in January. There was a mention that in May there would be coordinating the system again, and I just wanted to confirm, is that still on for running chlorine through all our household taps?
Do you have a pen?
It's just that for, you know, a personal thing.
Yes, no, no, it's a good question. Do we have that?
No, we'll have to check with the water operator. What that ties in with is the water operator had indicated that they would likely flush the water system again in the spring.
Yeah.
And those dates have not been announced yet.
Okay.
So we'll have to ask that.
Yeah.
And we can get the water operator, Adam, to speak about that at the AGM as well.
You said AGM is next Thursday?
Yeah.
Is
that the 30th?
That's correct.
Lighthouse Community Center?
Oh, at the Community Center?
Yes.
At what time is that?
6:30.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Please, anyone else? What a great crowd tonight. Well, then I would say that is
adjourned.
Somebody make a motion to adjourn? You don't need a seconder. All those in favor?
Adjourn to in camera.
And we are going to adjourn to an in camera meeting. Thank you very much. And we will get you that answer next week. I'm sure it will be at the AGM.
Oh, great. Thanks.
Thank you.
Don?
Yeah.